Okay, it's October 27, 2005, and we're finishing up an interview with Patrick Rankin. So we're talking about the hogs now. So the life of a hog that went to market is really less than a year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you still have hogs today?
Nope.
No. Okay, so how many hogs did you have when... What was your average when you took over from your father?
Michael, I never did. Me and Charlotte never did raise hogs.
Oh, okay.
Dad is, he's the only one who did that. And do you want to know about a year when he finally quit raising hogs?
No, I guess that's not really important. I was just trying to catch on to the production aspect of it.
He would market usually about 250 of them a year. All of them would go into Portland. He'd always butcher all the way from 2 to maybe they butcher 6, but that'd be going to somebody else. Maybe a relative or a friend.
Did he slaughter and butcher himself?
Yep.
That stayed in the family?
Yep. The old scalding bath's out there in that barn.
The old what?
The scalding bath is out there in that barn. Scalding bath for...
That's where they went after they were slaughtered?
Well, that's where they got the hair off.
Yeah.
They were slaughtered and then into that hot water, which was... that was placed right over a pit with pretty darn hot to get that water up to boiling. A lot of water, probably 200 gallons of water at that.
Did you take that water from a pump or from the river?
From a pump.
Uh-huh.
There was another pitcher pump right out there close to that bath.
What happens after you get the hair off of them then? What do you do then?
They had a tripod. They could hoist them out, and gaff that they could put across the hind legs. They'd hang them, and that was the time of year when it better be cool, so they would cool rapidly overnight. At least as cold as it was last night.
So they might do this in the fall then?
Always in the fall.
Late fall?
Yeah. Right. October, November was butcher time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then what? Then you just...
I don't know how many days they hunt. Like that, not very long, because there was refrigeration. Yeah, but they didn't have refrigeration. So they'd let them hang like a couple days, and then they would salt cure them, both by putting them in a pretty dry solution that was hand rubbed all over the outside, and then like Morton's came out with a gun that was really a syringe, and they can inject this salt solution inside of the ham in 2 or 3 locations, and then Dad had a smokehouse that was built right out of here, and he could hang about 4 hogs up in that, all of at the same time, use apple wood to keep a smoky fire going down on the ground, and he might smoke those for a week. And then take them out of there and put them in a cool, dry atmosphere. And that's how they were used.
Then were they packaged up for family use, or how were they stored?
Yeah, the smoking thing. They were all up in hams or bacon. They were slabs of bacon then, but they weren't all sliced. But the bacon was still on the ribs. And then, they had a pantry that was outside, not in the sun, that they would take one ham out of it, and each day, if they wanted it, ham was on the menu, or bacon was on the menu, well, they'd slice off what they needed, put it back in that storage spot. But they, preferably, that was where it never got above, say 45 degrees, about what a refrigerator is set for. Well, refrigerator's probably 41, 42.
So it could last or stay preserved in that atmosphere for a long time.
The ham lasted, or it was gone by the time, all eaten up.
But they would, traditionally, they would slaughter in the late fall.
Yeah.
And use that meat all through the winter and till the next year.
Yeah, it would last through spring. If they were going to have it in the summer, they would have to can it. And they didn't do a lot of that. I don't know how they did. I think a hot pack, what they call a hot pack, they'd have to get it hot enough to kill any organisms and then exclude the air to get a seal in the jars.
So, but basically the hog business was done when you took over the farm? How did that wrap up?
That World War II is sort of what put an end to the raising of hogs.
You mean small farmers raising?
Yeah. That's when the big hog raisers started going to the confined hogs, where they're born and raised on concrete.
I've heard there's some movement of cooperative reestablishments again to kind of get them out of that atmosphere, and that some people think that's cruel.
Very inhumane.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised what that happens sooner or later. Whether we will become a society that doesn't eat as much pork, I don't know. It still is very popular.
It is. Now, let's see. I think we've pretty much covered the major aspects of your life from birth until. Let me just ask a few things at random. Do you know why you were born in this house instead of a hospital?
It was, I can't give you the stats, but it was really customary that babies were born someplace besides the Big Yellow Hospital. You know, a lot of them really were attended by what do you call it, the first?
A midwife?
A midwife, yeah. Yeah. I was attended to by a doctor, and so was my sister, and a lot of kids were born under the supervision of a doctor. Mine was a very, very difficult birth. My mother, it took her about, I think it was 3 days, I know they eventually had to pull me.
And they did it here.
And they did it here. Now, Dr. Biggers was the doctor's name. My aunt, the one who owned and operated Joel's Grocery, was she and my Aunt Minnie and Aunt Joel's sister were both trained nurses. And in fact, they ran a hospital in here before the Grand Ronde Hospital came into existence. This was before the store, before the grocery store. But she was here all the time.
Was your sister born here too? Was your sister born here too?
Well, she was born in a home up in Wallowa County, in the town of Wallowa.
But she was born at home,
yeah.
Not a hospital.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What were the hospitals in town?
In
your day.
The old Grand Ronde Hospital was on Adams, off on the west end of town. Do you know, are you familiar with the...
Actually, I remember it.
Yeah.
I think it was there still in the early 70s when I first came over here as an adult.
Okay.
But not for very long. I don't think it was there for very long.
I can't remember that. Well, they built the new hospital. They were in the process of building the new hospital in 1960. When we moved back here, they were collecting donations to build the new hospital where it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So the old Grand Ronde was still there, and the St. Joseph Hospital, the Catholic Hospital, Paul and Charmy were born in that hospital, in the Catholic Hospital. Yeah. Because that's where the doctor was. He worked there.
That's where his practice was?
Yeah, that's where his practice was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
What other theaters were in town besides the Granada? Time that you were growing up?
There was the Liberty Theater. That was where the better movies went to, was the Liberty. And right beside what is the City Hall now. Then there was the Granada Theater, where the Granada Theater. It's still called Granada, isn't it? That's where all the cowboy movies were. And then there was another theater about three buildings down south from the Liberty Theater that was, at the time I was, that I was called the Arcade. And I saw Gone with the Wind that theater. It was the first color movie ever. And it was also a lot longer, but it was about a 4-hour movie.
Yeah. And you saw that at that, that was called the Arcade Theater?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was that a special event when that movie came out?
Oh, yeah. Boy, I will say it was. Because of the Technicolor, I think also maybe that was the most expensive movie that had ever been made. Yeah, it was well known.
Now, when you said the Liberty Theater had the better movies or the better quality movies, what do you mean by that?
Okay, the cowboy, we call it cowboy movies, and westerns, is the only thing that they ever showed after Granada. And like at the Liberty, it was movies like, well, animated, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs was there. By me and the movie, I can't even remember the names of some of them that I saw there, but they were story movies.
Were you a movie buff? Did you like going to the theater?
Yes, I did. I went to a lot of movies when I was in. Well, the westerns, Jerry and I went when we could. And then later on, in high school, I went to a lot of movies at the Liberty. And over at Union, they had a pretty nice little movie. I'll tell you where I saw the most movies.
Okay.
Was at Fort Lewis. They had well, I've forgotten. I know they had four theaters there. And they had at least, well, I think there was more than that. Because there was a theater in Camp Murray, too. The North Fork.
Yeah, I think there's still four or five, maybe even six theaters.
Yeah, there still is?
I think so.
Okay. The armed forces got those movies before anybody got them. And they changed those movies every day at Fort Lewis. You could go to the theater tonight and see one movie, go there the next night, and see that same movie for like a dime. And the latest, you know, the latest productions. And me and this fellow that I told you about got out of the Army sooner than I did.
Right.
I think we saw darn near every movie that was ever made in Hollywood. Right.
During your time in that. So were there any live performances in town here or around...
Not in town. I never saw a live performance, but I did in Seattle when I was in the Army. I saw some live performances and also music Sons of the Pioneers.
Now, did any of these performers come through La Grande or ever stop in La Grande, or do you have any memory or knowledge of that?
The big timers, boy, I've forgotten if they ever made it before, even after, right after World War II. Beginning at about the 1960s, occasionally there was like the one I can remember best or at all was Ferrante and Tiger. You remember that?
Yeah, I do. They came to town here.
They came to the college. It was usually the college that, you know, sponsored them. Yeah.
Did you see that performance?
Yes. Yep. And we were record and tape buffs, really, Charlotte and I both. I've got a 7.5 tape player that the old tube type, and we've got a lot of those tapes. I wish one of these days I could get my money together to get a new tape deck that's all, not those tubes, the electronics in it.
State of the art, more updated version.
Yeah, because the amplifier, my amplifier is shot, and the tape deck is okay, except it does need some tubes. I tried to get those tubes.
Yeah. Pretty hard, I bet, to get tubes. Did you and your wife ever go dancing in that Zuber dance hall?
Two of us never did go there to a dance. But we went to probably at least 7 or 8 of the big time band, Tommy Dorsey, and Jim, and this was at Oregon State. And also we went to one or two of them at Oregon. They've got a kind of nice big old ballroom down at Oregon State. Have you ever been to that?
I haven't been to the ballroom in Oregon State, but I have at Oregon.
Okay, uh-huh. Okay. Vaughn Monroe, Tex Beneke, that was the big band there, one too.
Did anybody come through here?
Because they didn't come here. They didn't come here that I can remember. They did a lot of touring too, but just too many places to go. Really took me. It was big bucks then too to go to those. Fred Waring and the Pennsylvanians. Do you really know who those people are?
I do really know who Fred Waring was.
Okay.
And because of my former background in music, you know, he was an arranger of choral music as well, and I came from vocal study. So I really do know who you mean. Okay. I couldn't say that I'd ever seen them. I think that I saw him and his choir once on TV.
When I was very young. They had a regular TV show for a while. I can't remember. It was a network.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were good. He was good.
Did you have radio out here when you were young?
Yes. That's the only entertainment we had. A battery operated. We didn't have to have electricity, but we had a battery operated radio, console radio, RCA.
He's demonstrating that the radio is probably about 4 feet tall and operated on a battery. So how did that work?
It was about 6 batteries that it took to operate that. Probably weigh 50, 60 pounds.
What kind of battery are we talking about?
A 1 Quetzal battery. And I think that was 6 volt. And then it took about 4 or 5 dry cell battery, all hooked up. And I don't know what series, but by the way, that radio is right down. Well, I'll stand right over the top. Underneath this house, I built a concrete floor of this new part. I built a concrete floor, and then the floor joists are about that far above the concrete floor, the bottom side's up. And then there's a whole bunch of junk down there.
See, he's saying he still has that radio, so I may have to bring my camera back and take a picture of it. But how long would those batteries last? Did you have to replace them or recharge them, or what did you do?
You had to recharge the wet cell. It was an automotive battery is what it was. Mm. The wet cell, I think it's a 6-volt wet cell. And you had to recharge, depending on how long you used it, how much you used it. But the wet cell would have to be charged like, once every couple of months. And the dry cells, when they stopped working, they were done for. And they would last a winter. And that's how long the radio worked, was a winter. And then during the summer, there wasn't time to listen to that radio, so.
Because of all the farm chores? So what did you listen to on that radio?
That's where I got started on Jack Armstrong.
Who was Jack Armstrong?
He was a kids person. The Adventures of Jack Armstrong, that's one thing I did when I got home from school. When I got my wood in quick enough, I got it done in time to come in and flip the radio on. I couldn't flip that radio on until I got those chores pretty well taken care of.
I bet you were good at getting those chores done then.
Well, had an incentive. Uh-huh. A real incentive.
So was he on every day?
5 days a week. I think it was 5 days. It wasn't every day.
You call it The Adventures of Jack Armstrong?
That was the name of the episode.
What was he about? What kind of adventures did he get into?
He was a world traveler, and it was always young people. And he'd be in Africa, seeing the elephants, tigers. It was very much a thing where you had to visualize that they were good, telling a story or talking in a conversation back and forth.
So it was like a little radio play? It was geared for young people.
Oh, yes, it was. It was made for teenagers or younger. I suppose that, a kid 4 years old would start listening to Jack Armstrong, but probably stick with that maybe even through high school.
So your friends at school were listening to this show as well?
They had access to a radio. Mm-hmm. They knew what was going on with Jack Armstrong.
So you'd trade Jack Armstrong stories when you get to it? What other programs did you listen to?
There was Amos and Andy. And, of course, that was a stand-up comic.
Now, there was a lot of controversy about the Amos and Andy program. In the day when you were listening to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, discrimination was probably just as high then as it ever had been. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and didn't even We didn't even think about that. Mom, Dad didn't even think about it.
Was LeGrand separated? Or was there color separation in LeGrand?
Not so it was easy to tell, but LeGrand did have a few Negroes. Now I'm talking about maybe a half dozen. I went to school with two Negro boys, the Torrance kids. In fact, Jimmy was 2 years older than I am. An athlete, really a good athlete, good football player. And so was Terry was a year younger. They were both born and raised in the North, and they were a lot better off than they are in the South. Were in the South.
Did they associate and socialize with everybody the same as everyone else around here, or were there any aspects of it that
they were just more careful about who all like the social events, you know, in high school. Well, Jimmy, he had cousins.
And we're still finishing off the interview with Patrick Rankin. It's October 27, 2005. So to finish off what we were saying before we had turned the tape around, their dating opportunities were limited. And so in spite of the fact that they could move around kind of at will, there still were limitations. Were there...
When they were growing up.
Do you recall any segregated facilities, theaters, bus stations, anything like that, train stations?
Or restaurants. I just don't think that was ever leveled off. I just sure can't remember that.
That's all right. It's all right. Just exploring topics.
Yeah.
How about Asian community? I understand there was a Chinatown area in there. What do you know about that?
Yeah.
What?
Well, there was, but that was before...
Was it before you?
My time, yeah. There was one family that I can remember, an Asian family, and they ran a restaurant. Actually, it was the lady who was the proprietor. It was a very popular restaurant, good restaurant. But that family stayed pretty much to themselves. They were industrious. As far as I know, they pretty much to themselves. But there was a Chinatown, about a block, a city block, or maybe two blocks in the ground that was known. And had Chinese proprietors or
businesses.
I don't think it was ever a big thing, unless it was way before my time.
How about eating establishments and businesses and things like that? What places did you like to go to maybe that aren't around anymore in LeGrand?
That aren't around.
Yeah, I know that people have talked to me about burger joints and things that used to be along or around Adams. And did you have places like that you and your wife liked to go to?
There was a place that served, it was called Wendy's. And
where was it?
It was right across from the Sacagawea Annex. And they served great hamburgers. They were a big hamburger, and they were really a good price.
Was that a local establishment or was that part of a chain, you know?
I don't think there was such a thing as a hamburger chain.
Okay.
Then, anywhere. No, it was strictly local. No.
Any other places you liked or that maybe aren't around anymore that you can recall?
I guess not.
Did you go anywhere for lunch in high school instead of eat there?
You know, I really didn't.
Okay.
I either packed a lunch at high school or they had a cafeteria over in the old, for the grade school, but any of the students could go to that cafeteria. I just didn't go to Metro's to get anything to eat. And there weren't any vending, no such thing as a vending machine, in the hallways or anywhere in the building or buildings. You can even buy a bottle of pop, without going away from the school.
Go to an actual grocery store to get it then.
Yeah, yes. Which there was a little mom and pop grocery store about a block from the high school. Yeah. In fact, there were 8 or 10 mom and pop grocery stores around, scattered around. But we didn't go to restaurants to eat much in the 30s, 40s, or the 50s. At fast food restaurants, there weren't any until, I think, the Dairy Queen. Either the Dairy Queen or the Arctic Circle was the very first fast food places ever in LaGrange.
Were they here before that Nels and Out? That's
Nels
been here an awful long time.
Out. I knew the fella, the parent of the people who ran. Well, I think it's still in that family hall. Nails in and out. And now that was the 60s when that was established. When I can't tell you which one of the 60s, but I'll say 64, 65, when Nails in and out was established. A guy by the name of George Larrison was the parent of the lady who started. He built that mobile theater. He did all the work in that mobile home. It was a single wide, about single wide by maybe 50, 60 feet long. That he built all of the cooking facilities, dishwasher, all that stuff into. Arctic Circle. Gosh, that must have been probably the mid-50s. And it was on Adams. Been out of business for a long, long time. And then I think the Dairy Queen was about next.
Where was that originally?
Right where it is now.
Oh, is
that,
it?
That was the first one. That was right, they built that Dairy Queen right after they finished the freeway. And that was by probably 1965. Right in there. No McDonald's. Dunkin' Donuts.
Wendy's.
Wendy's, yeah. Yeah, those were terrible.
How about cruising down Adams Avenue? You ever do any of that?
Well, there were a lot of kids did. I was never really into that all that much. The first place, I wasn't close to it. So we lived out here.
Right.
And I didn't have the wheels that of my own until actually I didn't own a car on my own until I got out of the Army. I never owned a car on my own. So it was too late for me to.
You were already past that phase by then?
I suppose that was.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you've given me a lot of material here to go on. We're going to be busy transcribing your interview. That's for sure.
Somebody is going to, mm-hmm. I guess.
Mm-hmm. Are we forgetting anything? I think we've covered every major gamut, it looks like. Anything you can think of we're forgetting to talk about, or I'm
There's
forgetting
only
to
one
ask
thing
you about?
That
What's
can,
that?
That I can think of, and I don't know if you would want to know that or not, those 7 years in Washington, what I did besides Charlotte and our last Peter, our last boy, and Kay, our last girl, the third and the fourth, were born in Washington. Peter was born in Freda in 1955, and Kay was born in Pasco in 1957.
How many children do you have total then?
So
four.
We have four.
Uh huh. And who are the other two? The oldest two.
The oldest one is Charles Marie, and the oldest boy is Paul Mark.
Right. Right. Now, do they all live close by?
Not now. Now they don't live really close by, but Paul lives in the Grand now. He lived at the ranch for a long, long time, and Peter has, well, pretty much lived here ever since we came back from Washington, but he worked for the railroad for quite a while. Then he went to school. He got a degree from Eastern, and he's been working for the last job is his fifth year over at McNary Dam. He works for the Corps. At McNary Dam.
Corps of Engineers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that has either been a year-long job or a six-month-long job. And he usually comes back here for most of the winter. And, the last 3 or 4 years, the last hour is done at McNary. He's 9 times out of 10 headed for right here. He's got a bed. This is home.
This is where he comes when he is at.
Yeah.
Any of your other children go to Eastern?
Kay has an accounting business degree from Eastern. Yeah. She got that. About, let's see, she got that about 10 years after she first left home. She didn't start right in with it when she got out of high school.
And then you say your son Peter graduated from Eastern also?
Yep, he graduated, went to Eastern. She go there 2 years, Mama?
No, one. Went down to Oregon State.
Okay. She went to
Peter Eastern. Graduated from there?
She did graduate from
your son Peter?
And Peter
and
graduated. Yep.
Peter and Kate graduated from Eastern and Mama.
Yeah, you graduated from there in 1970. Yeah, so.
Yeah, we got that one on tape.
Yeah. She wasn't 100 when she got her degree.
No, she was about 98.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Well, she was 40. 1970. She was exactly 40. When she got her degree. Yeah. She did a good job, too. She got her degree.
Well, somebody needs to.
Yeah.